Dear villager, wherever you are, good afternoon and welcome to Home Run with Helmut and Dwight. As always, this time of the day, as long as it's a weekday, you obviously this is time for your favorite duo, that is Helmut and Dwight on Eagle FM with Home Run. And as always, we have for you, and we come this afternoon. Okay, you know, screw the protocol. This afternoon we come with yet another exciting topic that we are going to be having this, you know, that we are going to be having this afternoon. And well, just stay tuned. Thank you for tuning in wherever you are tuned in from. And well, we shall dive deeper. Although today's discussion for those of, or more like today's topic, for those of you that did not see the poster yet, I don't know if you know why you didn't, but you know, just familiarize yourself with our social media. Speaking of which, tomorrow is Friday, and the eVillager newspaper comes out every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. So if you're not a subscriber, you are missing out a lot, and but you are not late. You can still subscribe by sending the word subscribe via WhatsApp to 0812004144. And please do remember to save the number so that you are not a stranger. And as soon as you do that, and every Monday, Wednesday, every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, as long as you have a decent internet connection, you should be able to get the eVillager newspaper filled with updates, mostly economic, you know, which celebrity is in a relationship with celebrity. That's not what we do. That, you know, that's the privacy of their bedroom, so bathroom or sitting room. We are not looking much into that. But who is selling who to, you know, who's selling what? Ooh, that almost went really dark. Who's selling what to who? That's what we, you know, that's what we focus on. It's more policy and economic oriented. A little bit of humor every Monday, Friday from 9:30 to 11 with yours truly, moi. Today's discussion is about the collabo, and you know that for those of you that are regular listeners of Home Run, then you know that there is nothing that Helmut and Dwight likes the most than reports. And the good thing about about the freedom of press and freedom of expression, and just remember, every freedom comes with with responsibility. Without freedom, freedom and responsibility runs in congruent with each other. If you take out one, the other descends into chaos. Take, for example, this is not the first time I'm mentioning this. Your rights are my responsibility. My responsibilities are your rights. So if you take out responsibilities, no one will have rights. So before you start running around, human right this, human right that, it's that's not how it works. Speaking of a collabo, hey, what do you do? I don't know. Yeah, well, speaking of a collabo, Home Run was a collabo, but now is a duo. The report or the document that's going to serve as one of our primary source today is actually we can call that a collabo of the Ministry of Industrialization, Mines and Energy. Man, I have to get used to this every now and then. Like every change in administration, I have to adjust. But a change is going to keep happening, whether you like it or not. And joining us is yours truly, Dwight.
Right. The other partnership, yes.
Yeah.
The other partner.
Oh, you know, just a quick question. So, take I, you know, decide to name one of, my child, the Black. Would that be a problem?
Depends on you, Helmut.
Okay, yeah.
Because, like I've told you many times what my name actually means. Mm. In Old English, supposedly, it's the color of white.
Huh?
It literally means the color white.
Before they removed on the, you know, so halfway through the, you know, the evolution of the language, they removed the D.
And also that they brought in a different spelling, so is it to a, so that it fits to the a person and not to, you know, how the color is written. But it, in all the particular internet searches I've done, the name literally means the color white. Oh, it's a fascinating,
interesting.
It's a fascinating thing that was, that piqued my interest back in South Africa in 2011 when all the Xhosa and Zulu kids were asking me, okay, I was by that time 27. They were all, you know, 20 year olds, 19 year olds who came and told, they would come and tell me that the name means, you know, blowing in the wind or whistling down the road, stuff like that.
Not that I down there.
Well, I was almost in something else, you know, in another plane that could obviously have meant that we would face some sort of a disciplinary.
Yeah.
So I had to stop myself there. But it actually piqued my interest from there. And I went and and researched. What does this English name mean? I know what my one brother's name, well, actually all my siblings, you know, you go look at all their names, you know, what does this name particularly mean? Awesome stuff.
Oh, yeah. So, Homerun with Helmut and Dwight is now past collabo. This, you know, it's a partnership. It's a full-on partnership.
Yeah.
Now, you know, what I'm looking for is the right term to describe the, you know, the report that we're going to use today, which also shows what seems to be, a collabo at this point, or a collabo or a partnership between the Ministry of Environment and the Ministry of Mines.
Mm.
Although the names used here is one of the yesteryear. Say, you know, I see Ministry of Mines and Energy.
Yeah.
Yeah. Now, is this a partnership or a collab? But that's what we are going to be, that's a document that we're going to be using today, which is a national policy on prospecting and mining in protected areas. Other areas with high value species and environmentally sensitive. Now, the thing is, you know, going through this report, comedian mind now picturing, you know, the Ministry of Mines and Energy walking in the office, you know, in a gangster like Italian job type deal. Walk in the Ministry of Environment office and go like, well, you guys want to protect the environment. We want to basically literally blow it up with dynamite to get to what's underground. Mm. So, you need money to protect it. We want to get to the stuff to make the money. So how about to reach an agreement?
And it's literally in that line, Helmut, where it's a discussion that also shows, like you described,
yeah,
the negotiation going on. Oh, obviously, in the script, I use the term in our description on our poster, I use the term sister ministries. And I see you try to correct that sentence where you try to like split the two up to say, no, it's not that they are literally, but they actually are sisters.
Oh, right? Yeah, they are.
They are sister ministries, you know. Not that you can say brotherly ministries.
Mm, for some reason.
Yeah,
even for countries, it doesn't work. I mean, motherland.
No, and the other one loves using fatherland and stuff like that. Oh, yeah, don't worry. That's Second World War propaganda. How they used to say motherland on the one side, fatherland on the other side. And I was like, what? Why are you guys genderizing just a country? But anyway. Coming back. That too, yes. Or did you get Father Nature?
Oh, no.
So coming back from our small explainer there. So it like you highlighted,
yeah,
it props up a weird scenario where you could possibly have, you know, imagined how these guys came about to this discussion.
Yeah.
But here's the thing, Helmut. Our discussion of yesterday, which was based upon the tourism sector and its stats, which was also backed up by the Ministry of Home Affairs with their stats.
Mm-hmm.
Which actually means that, like you described that discussion right now, right? Where Ministry of Mines walks in and says, you know what? You want to protect it. We want to blow it up.
Mm-hmm.
So how about it? We've got the money. And they would obviously say, like that policy also says in its executive summary,
yeah,
the mining industry is Namibia's strongest sector. I actually beg to differ.
Which one is?
I still believe it's the tourism.
The tourism.
The one that we highlighted yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
I still believe it's tourism. And even though in tourism, the analysts can only measure occupancy rates, meaning how many rooms are booked mm-hmm. or occupied at a time
yeah.
from the various establishments across the country. You also have to look into auxiliary services, for example, like the car rental services that went on a spending spree in 2024 and in 2023 and even in 2022 to try and meet the newly developed, technically you could have considered it like starved demand, because the tourists were starved from seeing Namibia. And it led to those guys having to buy a lot of cars in that 3-year period because they couldn't keep up with demand.
Mm-hmm.
Now, we don't even know, Helmut, how that factors into the retail market, meaning those tourists bringing in literally foreign exchange
yeah.
directly into your country, exchanging it at your banks or at your bureau de changes here in the capital or wherever in the country. We don't also know how that permeates, for example, the revenue that Minister of Environment makes from its national parks, because they do have a little cash here.
Yeah.
Yes, a little cash here.
Kiosk.
That guy, you still have to pay, ne?
To get entry
into the park. And there's another policy on the cards to try and make that as accessible as possible, to mm-hmm. try and spur on the visitations to our national parks as well. It's a policy we were told on the same group that dropped this policy document that the media was not invited to a separate stakeholder engagement that took place today.
Is it that private?
Yeah. Because the second one is the second one that we saw the invite for is taking place on 7 July next month in Swakopmund. Now, obviously, you know, no one can fly from here to there to try and, you know, go and see. That's obviously, I'm talking about us, the media guys. It's only the media that are privileged to live in Swakop that can go and, you know, obviously observe the process. Yeah. And it's a whole stakeholder engagement, meaning about how to make entry to national parks as affordable as possible. Because in the same somewhere, either yesterday or in Tuesday. No, today's Wednesday or today's Thursday.
Yeah, today's Thursday.
Today's Thursday. It was either yesterday, Wednesday, or Tuesday. We're on the same group that we're all on. Someone posted something there about Namibia has to try and meet up with a specific trend that was observed that happened in Botswana. Where Botswana, they generated two kinds of fees, entry fees into national parks.
Mm.
And now, obviously, the fees are there to be an income generator for the state because it's a state facility and a state asset. And the state has to try and also look after the thing.
Yeah.
Even though people would come and say, yeah, but the people's, you know, the government workers, their salaries are guaranteed. Yeah, that's the salary. Just like our discussion on Tuesday, remember about the Ministry of Health?
Yeah.
Auditor General's report?
Mm-hmm.
That was those were things that are supposed to be done on a daily basis.
Mm-hmm.
You still need to buy your tarred poles from a Pupkowitz or from an Arc Trading
yeah.
or from a Build It. You still need to buy a wire. You still need to go and put out a tender, which probably might take another year, to try and help with certain particular services.
Just have to rub it in.
I have to rub it in because we can obviously see the government officials like blaming the one thing that can't defend itself, Public Procurement Act.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, so in a nutshell, Ministry of Environment would then tell your
mines.
Your Ministry of Mines gangster attitude individual, you know what, my guy? I've got a larger portfolio to manage. I've got so many things that are of importance.
Mm-hmm.
You are literally operating in my sphere of influence.
And that is true.
Yeah. And that is true, yeah.
Yeah.
But which actually brings us today to this discussion with that background that you and I highlight. I know you kept it as sweet and short as possible.
Yeah.
Saying, you know, my industry wants to blow up everything to get to what's beneath ground.
Yeah.
Or even in the sea, which is the truth.
Oh, yeah, it is.
Not the truth. It's a fact.
Deep sea mining is a big problem.
Yeah. Deep sea mining is a massive problem, guys. And when you position that against what Ministry of Environment, Forestry and Tourism mm-hmm. tries to achieve, I mean that you even get a world-renowned compliment from the UN World Tourism Organization Secretary General to say,
"You guys,
you guys are the template that every country should follow in terms of how you make tourism a sector on its own," which is a fact. Because did you know, Helmut, and I'll continue repeating this thing, many developed countries, they factor tourism in as a byproduct of multiple sectors. So if I'm flying to the UK, I'm not considered as a tourist. I'm just a visitor. But then I go watch, let's say I go watch an Arsenal Football Club match. I'm not a tourist. I'm a visitor. If I go sit in a hotel, I'm a visitor. I'm not a tourist. What kind of labeling is that? What kind of particular perspective is that?
Like for you, if I go there, I'm an immigrant.
No, Helmut, that's obviously if you came through legally. Doch,
because Namibia. Okay. Namibia is in a conflict. I need an asylum.
No,
Helmut. And then they look it up online. It was like, what conflict? I don't know. I was there a few days ago. Look, guys, if you're going to lie, at least make it believable.
Yeah, and the worst part, isn't it? Those Namibians that do this, they fly there. And then they think that the British authorities don't have Google or internet. Or that the British authorities that side don't have a high commissioner sitting over here. That we interviewed here in 2023. We interviewed the man here, live in studio. And he said, unfortunately, the word asylum seeker doesn't apply to any Namibian that lands in Heathrow or in London. It doesn't apply because we're not at war. Man. I'm still disappointed at those Namibians. You know, I'll never stop trolling those Namibians.
They do not call us land of the brave for nothing. But look, this obviously brings up a lot of discussions. And because if you look at you and I have looked more like glossed through just how a lot of public entities are intertwined in a way that they try on a day to day that they work on a day to day basis to execute their respective responsibilities. This collabo here between the Ministry of Mines and Ministry of Environment is not one that's new, because I remember I'm not sure if it was you or you I that gave an example of a school, building a school. You'll be forgiven to think that that's it's only the Ministry of Education that will be involved, but when they need the right paperwork to be completed for them to have access to water, for them to have access to electricity, for them to have access to the land. There are a lot of public entities that are involved into making, into making that possible.
Yeah.
Not just the Ministry of Education, because the Ministry of Works shows up, Ministry of Finance shows up, they're basically the guys with the pen that signs the check. So when you look at it from that, it's not something that is new seeing, basically it's what they do on a day-to-day basis. Ministries have to work together. Now if I was running the ministry, Ministry of Mines, on the other hand, and I want to, I have my geological experts that are telling me that, those mountains signifies that underground could be this and this and these resources. We can't just storm there and start exploring without going through the Ministry of Environment and Tourism, because they're the ones that have to regulate. First of all, they have to, they're the ones that are going to decide whether they give us a yes or no. And also, we have to run all our processes through them. Like, this is the type of mining method we want to use, or this type of exploration we want to use. Now, if it's a UNESCO World Heritage, for example, and your method of exploration involves C4, they'll be like, I'm not sure I'm comfortable with that. First of all, it's just an exploration, and we're already blowing up stuff.
And remember, Minister of Education, which is predominantly sort of like, works in collaboration with UNESCO, like you highlighted.
Yeah.
Remember the
arts and culture.
No. The other discussion you and I had, the preservation of heritage.
World heritage sites.
Yeah. Through technology.
Yeah.
Remember that particular talk?
Yeah.
Much of that actually overlaps into the realm of Ministry of Environment, Forestry and Tourism.
Yeah.
Much of that exercise. Because you need to cordon off. Let's say there was an installation, there's a heritage installation. Let's say it's like something like Tweefelfontein, ne? The rock art at Tweefelfontein. Or let's even say it's like the rock art in the Rongo Mountains. You need to have like, okay, what those guys highlighted there specifically was a discussion of, let's say it's something that is not on private land, but it's in government land.
Mm-hmm.
The government would have to put up it's like a buffer zone of territory. So it means this is like land, Helmut, that you can allow animals to walk through, maybe a road to go through, or if there was like a small rural community based in it, you can allow it to be there, right? Because the actual zone wherein the heritage site is contained within is smaller and contained within that buffer zone itself. So if a buffer zone is to incur some sort of a hazardous, damaging activity, like what this policy document highlights. Oh, dear listeners, we didn't identify the policy document as yet. That is our fault, partially. Even though it's in our poster. So the policy document's name is the National Policy on Prospecting and Mining in Protected Areas, Other Areas with High Value Species and Environmentally Sensitive Areas. Right there. Protected areas,
mm-hmm.
Other areas with high value species and environmentally sensitive areas. Now, Helmut, to outline.
This brings us to Omaheke last year discussion now.
Okay, you have to jog my memory about Omaheke.
In situ mining.
Yes. It brings us to that level as well.
Yeah.
But remember that both Omaheke and Hardap, which border onto each other, predominantly have agricultural land. So you can partially defend that they have protected species in it, not high value species. You can't actually use them as well in this discussion because the in-situ mining had to do is perceived as a threat to underground water, which means it is that transboundary underwater reservoir that runs through in Namibia into Botswana and into northern South Africa, which makes it problematic. Now, on that scenario, Helmut, in-situ mining doesn't actually damage the
surface.
The surface area environment.
Yeah.
It doesn't. The concern that people had there was what happens below surface level.
Yeah.
How is that controlled? How does that not impact farming or agriculture that depends on the water source?
Yeah.
But then in the same line, you could then also argue that the Ministry of Agriculture's Water Management Act can also be a negative impacting piece of legislation. You know, one is an industry mechanism action. The other one can be a legislative negative impacting action, meaning that, and I went to a presentation from the same company that wants to do the in-situ mining. I went to the legal presentation done by their lawyer, their legal representative, about the Water Management Act, who cited that specifically the ministry with that Water Management Act, which they also want to update, or were busy in the course of updating, the ministry has the means to drill or boreholes, to drill boreholes for communities. But then that actually means, does the ministry actually, do they pay for their own, permits?
To drill.
Okay. Because remember, the ministry would dictate to, let's say, a farmer. If a farmer wants to drill a borehole on his farm, his or her farm, they have to go and apply for a permit from the Ministry of Water. Now, would the same particular action also, now the questions are obviously being touted there, would the same action be applicable to the state if the state had to respond to, let's say, drought relief mechanisms in communal land areas? Which is, communal land areas is government property.
Yeah.
Does the state pay for its own permit? Who regulates the state's particular actions when drilling for a borehole? Just like who...
Okay, now that's one tricky question.
Just like the Auditor General pointed out that the Minister of Agriculture is problematic in terms of their environmental friendliness in using... Remember what we did last week, that other discussion? The environmental how environmentally friendly is many of the particular chemicals that the Minister of Agriculture uses?
And one thing that was referenced was the inorganic fertilizer.
Exactly. So right there, one agency of the ministry has outlined already to the whole country that the ministry itself, or a ministry, a system ministry itself, unrelated to these two ministries, can be problematic because the discussion itself is one based upon, do all of these ministries have the same, do they overlap in some certain things? Does one ministry actually ignore the efforts of another ministry? And you could see this. For example, and that comes through from the Auditor General's report. It's not Dwight and Helmut making up things here, dear listeners. And even if you're from the ministry itself, it comes from the Auditor General's report. Break.
Are you still buying data hoping it will last? Then switch to Paratus. Buying gigabytes is so old school. With our mobile LTE prepaid packages, you take charge. As we invest in time on our network, enjoying the freedom of uncapped data. When you buy a 1-day, 7-day, 14 or 30-day package, you get uncapped data usage. For the duration of the package, no matter how much data you use. Explore our range of Paratus mobile LTE prepaid packages and enjoy the speeds of up to 10 megabytes per second. And most importantly, remove the uncertainty about how long your data will last. Contact us today at 083-300-1000 or visit our website at www.paratus.africa/Namibia. Terms and conditions apply. Always
prepare Paratus. Great news! Impact just got even better. We have added brand new features to make your experience smoother, faster, and more powerful than ever before. Ready to unlock the full potential of Imba? Get all exclusive features for just $36 Namibian a month, or save even more with our special subscription plans. 5% discount for 3 months subscription, 10% discount for 6 months subscription, and 25% discount for 12 months subscription. Choose the plan that works best for you and start enjoying everything Imba has to offer at an unbeatable price. Imba, where the world congregates. Download it and subscribe today.
Welcome back. It's just a minute past the hour of five. So if you look at it from the Auditor General's report on the type of fertilizer that's used by the Ministry of Agriculture, and it's known, environmentally unfriendliness. It obviously raises up the question of how are you claiming to be, to protect the environment by using something that goes contrary to the statement that you're making? Because inorganic fertilizer, it's not a secret. It's known to be to have a lot of negative effects. Mm. For the environment, especially for the living organisms, because when it rains, a lot of these chemicals are washed down, washed downstreams, and a lot of it is obviously well absorbed by the plant, which is then eaten by you and me.
Yeah, or it seeps into like underground water reservoirs.
So that brings us to the institution. No, that lawyer was a genius.
No, it is. It is a wonderful explanation. You just have to ask one question, Helmut. Yeah. You would see most of those professionals
when someone goes,
they just open up.
Yeah.
It looks like Moses standing in front of the Dead Sea. You know, they just open up the discussion. But anyway.
So, and the answer begins to start with a wele.
No, they don't start with wele. They actually go like, they're actually enthusiastic to answer. Well, obviously there was food that night as well, you know.
Yeah, that explains a lot.
So there was a lot of motivation. So, yes, you are right, Helmut. Yeah.
The reason why I brought up the whole in situ mining, is one of a good example between two ministries sort of like having more of an elephant in the room, or being stuck in a difficult situation of you know, that's very difficult to deal with.
Yeah.
In the report coming out of the collabo between the Ministry of Mines and Ministry of Environment that we have right now, references Goal 15 of SDG, you know, SDGs, which speaks about the protection and restoration and promotion of sustainable use of a terrestrial ecosystem. So, in other words, you want to use as much natural stuff as possible so that you are not using something synthetic that is non-biodegradable.
Mm.
Which now brings up the story of a whole discussion of of plastics. That's not the direction we're taking today. This one is this is a talk between the Ministry of Environment and the Ministry of Tourism, Ministry of Environment, Ministry of Mines. I explained in the beginning that this is a very. This is a dilemma.
It is.
Yeah, this is a dilemma because, Ministry of Mines, it's in the name. They are into mining.
Yeah.
Mining is a fancy way of saying you are digging a giant hole.
Yeah.
You are basically breaking down trees and basically disturbing the natural earth in the way that it settles.
Mm-hmm.
And, one guy pointed out, that guy must really like meat because he was having one of those heated debate with a vegetarian. I was like, no, I don't, I eat farmed produce because, well, I don't want to kill animals.
Mm.
And Homeboy was like, let me explain something to you. The farm that your food is coming from is not, not a 1 hectare farm. It's a thousands and thousands of hectares farm. Now, newsflash, it wasn't always a farm.
Mm.
Yeah. It has to be leveled
where
a lot of rodents, lizards and everything had to basically be kicked out.
Yeah. Imagine it is like a mass eviction.
It's a mass eviction
of natural wildlife
/ massacre. And this is what this farm on an annual basis they are using a lot of different chemicals to basically keep all the animals that would eat the crops at bay.
Mm.
So they are they have all kinds of insecticides that that they use. In other words, believe me, while I slaughter one cow, those guys are committing, you can't call it a massacre,
it's a species eradication.
Excellent. Those guys are pulling off a species eradication. So if your only reason for not eating meat is because you don't want to kill animal, newsflash, where your food is coming from.
They're already doing it for you. They're already doing it for you.
Lot of vegetarians going right now, seriously?
Yeah. A lot of people would obviously, that particular discussion also raises a lot of things as well, because there's a reason why the American farmers were unhappy with Donald Trump's immigration policy from the get-go when it rolled out. The one farmer alluded to that the American food system would collapse after 2 days if all the farm workers were evicted. But who said a point and give jobs to illegal immigrants, Tochman?
It just has something that has to do with, I think it's a developing country thing. It's a developed country.
You are right.
Here's the problem.
Yeah.
The more a country develops, I think this is, you see this a lot in developed countries. The more a country develops, the more the citizens of that country, don't want to do certain jobs.
Yeah.
Yeah. And those jobs must be done.
Yeah.
That's where immigration now comes in. A lot of people that, I think it's the UAE or the Qatar, most of these Middle Eastern countries are filled with people that are not from there.
Yeah.
That's because the countries are so developed, the citizens don't want to do a lot of jobs that now have to be filled by.
But you know what's the worst part? Those guys pay their citizens a basic income grant every month.
Yeah.
Those guys don't have to work, Helmut.
Why do I go and, fry myself under the sun when I can just sit at home and be well off.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, and that most of those guys in the Middle East are technically doing jobs for fun. That's why they can give another country's president a gold-plated airplane. Talk about bribing someone. Eh? You give someone a plane that has gold features in it.
A bribe is only in Africa. You know, that side of it, they call it lobbying.
Helmut, that's literally a bribe. Remember that example I explained to you about the congressperson, the man,
mm-hmm.
who got a bribe in $100,000 from an Egyptian.
The Egyptian guy.
Yeah, and then he got another cash donation from another guy for another thing, also in the same particular agricultural market, and where the authorities were going after him because he was paid directly the money.
John Stewart was like, there are a lot of ways you could have done this that are illegal.
And remember, John Stewart's own show that night was based upon what's the difference between lobbying and bribing.
Uh-huh.
Now, here's the thing, Helmut. Are you going to tell me that one country is lobbying Donald Trump through giving him an airplane?
Egypt was bribing. Yeah, there's a difference. Oh.
No, Qatar was bribing, bruh.
No, that's lobbying. Which is why...
What were they lobbying for? We don't even know.
Look,
because all that Trump said was, they are good friends, they do right things.
Yeah, if I was that guy that was lobbied/ bribed by the Egyptian, I would have gone to, point to the same thing. I was like, Your Honor, the Egyptians are good friends, and
it's still in the bank account.
It's still in the bank. Can I have my money? Thank you.
It's still there in the bank account. Look, there it is.
Yeah, so coming back to SDG 15, that's referenced, protect, restore, and promote sustainable use of terrestrial ecosystem, sustainably manage forest, combat desertification. COP 16, Saudi Arabia last year, remember? Desertification and halt and reverse land degradation. And halt biodiversity. This is a giant thorn in the eye of the Ministry of Mines. Because the Ministry of Environment wants to adhere to this and protect it. But then they have a Ministry of Mines on the other hand that want to, get to the resources that's underground. And on the other side, they have Ministry of Agriculture. It's like, well, our plants need fertilizer. So until we figure out something organic, we're going to have to break a few eggs to make an omelette.
I think when this discussion took place between these two ministries, while they were still doing...
The most exciting discussion.
While the two of them were still trying to measure their egos with each other, Ministry of Mines and Ministry of Environment. Yeah. Ministry of Agriculture at that time was going like, yay, let's play around finally. With pesticides. let's just go paint the world full of pesticides and what's the other word that you use? Fertilizers and all those other particular things. Just for the Auditor General to come back, and say, how are you
protecting the environment by doing that?
You don't have clear policies on the things that you use to try and facilitate food security. Because remember, the Auditor General's report was pretty clear in saying that Minister of Agriculture is not well equipped in terms of policy and as well as also their endeavors, what they do and their acts. To technically be environmentally friendly and also to be food secure, to ensure food security. I'm just summarizing it up from last week's discussion.
Now that I'm thinking, now that you put it that way, it's beginning to sound like, the energy security discussion.
Yeah.
Yeah. We want to achieve energy security, but the green forms of energy are just not they are not technologically advanced to the to achieve the level of not only sustainability but also more like consistency in this energy provision. Like you asked, like you pointed out the other time that someone decided to that it was a brilliant idea to start a solar power plant without first figuring out where's the energy going to be stored when the sun is not shining somewhere above us.
Mm.
So, when you look at it, the Ministry of Mines and Energy has a lot of questions to answer, to the Ministry of Environment, because, they also have to provide energy security. We're looking to them, energy security. Also, we either have to burn coal or hydro, which is environmentally friendly, yes. But, we are known to have, droughts, more droughts than rain. So that's going to have the water levels are not going to be the way that they are currently high like forever. As soon as you have a drought, the water levels are going to drop, and so will the current. And when that happens, you don't have a strong enough current to push the turbines to produce electricity at at peak capacity that like you'd obviously witness it right now. So that can easily be equated to this mining part. So the Ministry of Mines and Energy is Ministry of Environment's enemy number one. Talk about mining. Yep. Environmental destruction is involved. Energy production, pollution, environmental destruction is involved. This discussion must have been very awesome. It's, how to put it? It's sort of like being left in a room with your ex. That's one awkward conversation. Actually, I don't know if those of you that talk, we just say, hi, how are things? Hey, yeah, so bye. But look, factor in SDG, which is a reference in the report, it brings up the justification of it breaks a few legs to make an omelette for you to, so that you can go ahead. Because if you just enforce everything more like with an iron fist, oh no, you're not going to get anything done. Mm. But before continue, commercial.
Some things kind of have to be together, right? Imagine pop, but no flakes. Never. Or a goal without a celebration. And friends, but no Tassenberg?
Now that's just not right.
No. Tassenberg. Best together. Not for persons under the age of 18. Enjoy responsibly.
Get social with us on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, and LinkedIn. Our handle is Eagle FM Namibia.
Eagle FM. The eye.
So, how do we go about this? The two ministries discuss. Because, our roles, do the opposite to the environment.
When we look at this balancing act element, this balancing act makes things a little bit complex because, and I love it that the Auditor General actually came out. And I'm not even ashamed of citing them continuously during our discussion.
And look, the thing is, one thing our listeners know is that we are, at this point, let's call it an obsession with reports. Because
us being obsessed with reports.
Yeah. They are produced for us, so.
Yeah, they are produced for you, the public as well.
Uh-huh.
And I mean,
yeah, by us, I mean all the citizens, not just those of us that have a microphone in our face every day.
Yeah. The fascinating thing has been that it was a policy analysis that was done with Ministry of Agriculture, right?
Yeah.
That policy analysis, they weighed it up against the international agreement of the SDGs that Namibia is party to. So they went and measured how well positioned is that ministry to champion and also to technically be the beacon or to be enabled to execute its mandate of ensuring that, you know, we can end zero hunger or we can end, zero hunger is SDG2's name.
Yeah.
How best equipped is this ministry to achieve this particular, ideal, this particular goal? And in that particular scenario, you could count how many times they were negatives. They highlight a thing, then the ministry can't provide documentary evidence to the auditors, to the Auditor General's office representatives, and then the response that the Auditor General's office provides says, up until when we compile this report, these guys still have not answered or provided proof of XYZ particular reasoning. If you can count more negatives in that report, like I did, than positives, you sit with...
The negatives outweigh the positives.
Exactly.
Oh, dear.
You sit with such a traumatizing picture because you get to ask the question, how does malnutrition come about? in the country. Food security means you try to combat things like malnutrition. But then malnutrition is thrown on the doorstep of Ministry of Health. Now, no one is telling Ministry of Health, come sit in the same classroom, come sit in the same assessment alongside Ministry of Agriculture. Because it's Ministry of Health that has responded to the malnutrition cases.
Yeah.
Not Ministry of Agriculture. Ministry of Agriculture just goes like, oh, okay, they are hungry people. And everyone is then like, you did not know? No, we did not know. So how do you have such an entity trying to combat or trying to ensure food security that is not responsible for technically tackling malnutrition because another agency or ministry is insured with tackling malnutrition? But these two guys are not in the same room being assessed. You see, Helmut, the fascinating thing here is, it's wonderful what Ministry of Environment and Ministry of Mines did here, right? They came together, joint policy document. Ministry of Mines also has a joint policy document with Ministry of Trade and Industrialization, but I think that now actually should be relabeled because Ministry of Trade and Industrialization was split into two, because industry is now with mines. So Mines sits with that policy document technically, and they have to find this sort of like this middle ground of working together.
Mm.
Now the downside is, Hamid, these two ministries already work together. Remember the discussion about the UIS lithium mining report we did from the standing committee.
Yeah,
they went to speak to the mining commissioner, and the mining commissioner says he has to work in tandem with the environmental commissioner in the Ministry of Mines, in the Ministry of Environment. So the Ministry of Environment's environmental commissioner has the last say in approving a license or an an EPL, exploration license.
Mm-hmm.
That guy says for the last one that technically gives the go-ahead to the particular discussion of the mining sector. Now, they already work together. They already have that understanding between each other. I mean, the next level has obviously been the green hydrogen monitor, the first one, the first edition that the IPPR brought out last year. When I read that thing, wherein the economist, the veteran economist in Namibia, Danny Meyer. It wasn't Danny Meyer. What's the guy's name? How could I forget the guy? Roman Greenberg, yes.
That explains why I forgot the name.
So Roman Greenberg outlined in his part of that monitor. He outlined that he outlined the part in terms of the protected area, which is also part of our subject matter for today.
Yeah.
Which is problematic because remember, green hydrogen is not an extractive industry. Yes, they are, but the plans have been outlined in the years up until today. They would use seawater desalinated and that would be their freshwater source.
Mm-hmm.
Because you can use seawater directly for the, hydrogen production, meaning splitting the water molecule into oxygen and hydrogen. But it's best to first desalinate it because you want fresh water. Now, which obviously indicates the high energy input from the renewable,
a lot of it.
From the renewable energy sources,
yeah.
The wind and the solar. Now, on that scenario specifically, in that monitor, at the end of that monitor, they have a report that was done by the Namibia Chamber of, the Namibia Environmental Chamber, or the Namibia Environment, NEC, Namibia Environment Chamber, something in that sense is its name. The entity's name, the NGO's name. And those guys brought out a report prior to that monitor that said the green hydrogen guys want to establish their particular renewable energy and their plant and yada yada, yada all those other things in the national park that's around Lüderitz. So remember that you've got the Sperrgebiet, which is this no man's land.
Yeah,
this cordoned off land, this no man's land. And in the Sperrgebiet, you've got this, the Tsau Eip, or the Tsau. Okay. But it's the national park there. Now, there are certain particular plant species that only live there. nowhere else in the country. They only live in that part of the country. So to also, if you have plant species, then that also means that you've got animal species and other particular insect species or even
a whole ecosystem
or even lizard species that only live there and nowhere else in that part of the country. So some of the particular things that are obviously highlighted upon that, and the Green Hydrogen guys were also at the presentation of the monitor, which is a report itself. And they also highlighted, listen, things are still ongoing. We're still waiting for the feasibility study. Now, here's where things get tricky. Do you classify green hydrogen as a mining endeavor, or do you classify it as a manufacturing endeavor? Now, I've explained how I observe it and how I see it.
Yeah.
It's a manufacturing thing. It's not mining.
Mm-hmm.
But many of the journalists believe, because the Green Hydrogen Commission is obviously, or the Green Hydrogen Project is obviously under the Ministry of Mines, all of them automatically think, it's a mining activity. It's not a mining activity. It's a manufacturing activity. And manufacturing and mining are two different things. They're two different things.
Well, they also have, I think it's safe to say they are all under one ministry, just different directorates, because that would fall under the industrialization part.
Exactly.
Of the industrialization directorate. Let me take you back to your malnutrition discussion. That remind me of, one discussion we had, I think that was, late last year.
Yeah.
About this other, event that you attended where farmers are somewhat like, were being, advised to transition or move from inorganic to organic fertilizer.
Oh, the agroforestry.
The agroforestry.
Yeah.
What's one of the excuses, the reason behind, because it's a very valid reason, that a lot of farmers don't want to do that transition because it's very unreliable. Mm. That's the same.
Or they don't know. They don't know if it's a clear answer that they get.
Yeah.
Look, you can go and explain to someone, do this. Let's, for example, say you're a football coach, Amo.
Yeah.
Now you see the team is playing in one style, but the style doesn't have a very strong defensive effort to it.
Mm-hmm.
And you believe, okay, if they fix or they reposition here or they do this and they do that, it sorts out their defensive posture. Now you go do that, né, to a farmer, explaining not the sports analogy,
yeah,
but a similar scenario.
Yeah, you know what?
Where you don't know that the result is a definite win.
Exactly. Yeah. The fear of the unknown, because you have, you are going to walk into a farm, yeah, and you'll approach a farmer that has a well laid out methods of operation where, exactly, this is the type of fertilizer that I use for these plants. This is the type of insecticide that I use for these plants. Mm. And so far, not 100%, of course, but things have been working out. Has been working out for him.
Yeah.
Now, you have to go there. You are basically telling someone that, whose car is well functioning to fix it.
Yeah.
The first question they will ask is,
fix what?
Fix what? I don't see anything that's broken.
And why must I fix it?
That's exactly what you're telling.
And what is the adage that we were told? If it's not broken, Don't fix the thing.
You are basically going against that adage. You are going to someone who is with a functioning system, and you're asking them to fix something.
Mm.
So now you see the issue.
Oh no, I remember which discussion it was. It wasn't the agroforestry. It was the organic farming.
Organic farming.
Remember?
The one that was outside of town. Yeah.
Yeah. 20 k's outside of Vantuk. It's the organic farming.
Again.
Yeah.
You don't have to be an expert at farming. If you look at the size of farms that are required to end, to have food security, you need a giant piece of land.
Mm.
And running that piece of land annually on organic fertilizer, you are going to have to come up with a whole new definition of organic fertilizer.
Mm.
Because that's going to take a lot of it. Because the difference between organic and inorganic fertilizers is that, if you are going to use organic fertilizer, you are going to need a whole lot of energy. A whole lot of fertilizer to cover a piece of land that you could have covered with most likely a 50 kg of inorganic fertilizer. Mm-hmm. Look, despite the negative consequence that comes from the using inorganic fertilizer, organic fertilizer is just, it takes long to break down, because you have to basically, you are basically talking about leaving everything to Mother Nature. Mm. Yeah. Unless you have some kind of motivation speech that you will give the microorganisms in the soil to speed up the work, because, well, you have to farm. So, you see, this is a dilemma, because we have to end world hunger, goal number two, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. End hunger globally.
Yeah.
Yeah. To do that, we need to farm a lot. To farm a lot, we need, farming measures that are environmentally friendly and sustainable, but effective. That's where we're having a problem now. If it's effective, whether you talk about that in energy generation or in farming, if it's effective, it's not environmentally friendly.
Mm.
Yeah. Coal is effective when it comes to generating energy. Is it environmentally friendly? No. Absolutely not. Now, solar, environmentally friendly? Check. Effectiveness? No.
The other thing that also factors into this discussion, Almut. Now, remember You also cited that same particular discussion where I asked that question in terms of, have they communicated to any other farmers? Mm-hmm. Because we only went to one farmer, one farm, saw this particular engagement, and obviously we had that talk here with the particular audio as well. The downside has been, when you are looking for a trend, because I am looking for trend analysis,
mm-hmm.
I can't just, As a particular journalist, we are now morphing into something else, Helmut, into data journalism, into data-driven decision-making as well. Mm. I can't go and listen to a minister who's just giving me his or her speech.
Most likely coming from AI.
Well, that would be problematic if the AI wrote it for them.
You wanna bet?
No, I won't even dare to bet that in that direction. The discussion from that, Helmut, is one that also shows that we want to know whether or not the actions that are being committed to would actually lead to the best case scenarios. Now, remember, this is a policy document we started off from between the two ministries.
Yeah.
The problematic thing that they start off from in what they cite in that executive summary, and I find a little bit of a problem here. Because I still believe, based upon how effective one sector is, I still believe Namibia's food retail or overall retail sector and Namibia's tourism sector are our two strongest and most resilient sectors. They are they've been there since 1990. They've paid their taxes consistently. They're the only two sectors that probably don't go and ask for tax exemptions if their mine is in care and maintenance. Because there's a lot of fallacies, there's a lot of gaps in terms of the perception that exists.
Mm-hmm.
We've even seen it with the lithium mining discussion. The traditional authority, didn't sort out the negative perception that the community had in Uis. Remember the previous mining activity that just left?
That left pits everywhere.
That left the pits everywhere?
Yeah.
Did the Ministry of Mines and Energy try to sort that out? No, they didn't. Because the standing committee went and spoke to the traditional authority. The traditional authority said, things were explained to them and they didn't care from there on, what happened to their community members.
Yeah.
Secondly, there was the issue of the small scale miners. Well, the small-scale miners believe that they are above everyone else and that they believe they're the only ones that are allowed to do, their mining. But if I, who's also a Namibian, or you, who's also a Namibian, Helmut.
With a license?
No, not with a license. If you accidentally find something there in the bush, let's say you go back to Kavango West. Mm-hmm. No, Kavango East. You go back to Kavango East. You accidentally bump your toe against a mineral. You pick it up, the rock, it's a shiny stone. Mm-hmm. The police will come and lock you up. Because who are you to pick up that stone? But you're a Namibian. The police will come and lock you up. Okay, I'm dramatizing.
Hey, but officer, I just picked it up. You know.
No, you can even show. Look, I even cracked half my toe open. Mm-hmm. You know, by accidentally bumping into this thing. The police will lock you up. Now the downside is you also see the paradox that exists in the Namibian discussion, because the Ministry of Mines and Energy would then have to come out and explain what's the difference between a small-scale miner, and the small-scale miners don't understand after they were told and taken to workshops financed by, is it UNESCO as well? Financed by UNESCO through the Ministry of Mines and Energy to explain to them, you guys have to apply every time for an EPIL and for your mining license.
Yeah, and it's renewable.
And they seem to forget that they were told this information. Now,
the problem is that last word that you just used, information.
Yes.
Boy, are we complimented
us. You have to say selective amnesia, Helmut.
Selective. we're terrible in a sense that if you look at the way that, information, look. Thanks to IPPR, now a bunch of these things, are living rent free in my, rent free in my head, and that's because if you just I don't want to say regulations, because regulation wise, for the most part, we're doing great,
yeah.
But enforcement, on the other hand, that's not a very good one. Whether it's a declaration of assets when you're in public office, 30th of April every year is the due date, and every year, you have people that are just swinging past the 30th of April like nothing happened. Now,
the other thing is, were they ever told? Were they told that they need to do this?
They were.
How do you know, Helmut?
Huh?
How do you know?
Oh, easy. Because, was that last year or 2 years ago when a report was compiled where some declared and some didn't? So you're telling
me. I think it was last year or the year.
So unless those ones that didn't, if they didn't know, I would like, Natis to take their driver's license and ECN to take their voter's card. Because if you, and also please move out from those positions. Look, if you are at that level and you don't know the things that are regular, you don't know the regulations that you are making.
No, they don't know the regulations that are associated to them taking the office or to them even sitting in parliament.
That's scary.
That's for the other MPs as well.
Yeah, that's why I'm saying I'm going to go with the thought of them knowing and not doing it, because them not knowing, that's more scary. I don't want to, I don't want to run with that. So, financial reporting for both, traditional authorities, regional, regional authorities, basically local authorities, you throw in ministries, SOEs. Again, over and over again, we have to be told to do our jobs. ECN last year, you could feel pity for those guys trying to explain to politicians, to political parties, guys, this is not how things work. Yeah. You're supposed to, gives you money, compile a report.
Yeah. What did you do with the
what
money?
What did you do with
if
the money?
If it says you paid salaries, please say you paid salaries. It's accounting.
It's submitted on time so we can also run our background check on this thing to make sure you are telling us the truth.
Yeah. Otherwise, people will just say you're laundering money, or even worse, you're stealing it.
Yeah.
Wow.
What you see here is one of those situations where we have, on paper, the legislations are impeccable, but putting them into practice is sort of like Christians and the Ten Commandments, same WhatsApp group.
You know, it's. It's based upon how I feel.
But so page 12. of that report. Strategies. In order to implement the policy on prospecting and mining in protected areas, the areas with high-value species and environmentally sensitive areas, a number of linked and integrated strategies are required. We're talking about gathering information here, something I still maintain we are not very good at. But we are getting very good at it. See, you know, with all these reports, that's why I'm congratulating us, that we are not there yet, but I'm loving where we are. Mm. Yeah, the following areas are the strategies aimed at achieving the aim and objective of policy. Remember, here the Ministry of Environment is basically laying down its terms to the Ministry of Mines on how mining will be done, if it will be allowed in areas specified, or more like classified as protected areas or areas with high value species.
Yeah.
So the areas to be excluded from prospective mining. A specific objective of the strategy is to determine the characteristics and the criteria, because what defines a protected area, or what defines an area of, you know, an area with a high value species.
Helmut, I'm realizing something right now.
Please, go on.
In the introduction of this policy.
So from the introduction?
It explains there that protected areas are essential for biodiversity and ecosystem services conservation. They are cornerstones of virtually all national and international conservation strategies. They are areas set aside to maintain functioning natural ecosystems, to act as refugia, meaning as refuge areas.
Like safe havens
for species, and to maintain ecological processes that cannot survive in most intensely managed landscapes and seascapes. What this technically says is, this is Ministry of Mines and Energy, that wants to be there.
This is trying to balance a seesaw.
Helmut, this opens up a whole nother can of things.
Cans, plural.
Yeah. Because the downside is, with the, obviously, the critical rare earth, or the rare earth minerals, or the critical raw materials, discussion that Namibia went and decided to become a club with, to participate in a club that the EU created of these countries. Remember that the EU does not have the same particular biodiversity as Namibia.
After World War One and Two, most of it.
And they don't even come close to Namibia. Ne? Now what, let alone them trying to compare themselves with Africa.
Mm-hmm. Nah.
And Africa has a lot of national parks. Even in our Bras, DRC and Rwanda,
uh-huh,
they've got national parks. Both countries.
That explains why, you know, M23 never runs out of food. But where were you?
It's a little bit sinister, Helmut. But yeah, that's true. But when you view the discussion here, right? It seems that this is Ministry of Mines trying to find strategies and ways,
mm-hmm,
of technically being able to sell exploration activities to investors who are asking, so what's in Etosha? What's in Tsoape? Or Tsoape, one of the two names. I'm sorry that I forgot that place's name.
So if
what's the other one's name? There's another conservation area, another big one. Let's say the Skeleton Coast. What's in the Skeleton Coast area?
And if I find something there, what procedures can I follow to mine it? That's a loaded question.
That's a very good question. And that's the problematic area. I know it's a policy right here. And we've already highlighted from the lovely discussion of last year with the lady from the Law Reform Office of the Ministry of Justice said, a policy is not a legal document. No one can be sued on a policy document. No one can be held responsible. This actually means, Hamoud, that if a mining company enters a national park to mine, they can commit egregious offenses. They can probably even commit poaching and say, you know, we did it for the sake of mining. Okay, yeah. That's also a little bit of a dramatization on my side. That's an embellishment, technically.
You want to bet some of, you know, you want to bet some of the mining employees will be mining for animals in between their breaks.
So, this makes things tricky. Because just like I also highlighted at the start about the green hydrogen discussion, green hydrogen is not mining. Green hydrogen is manufacturing. And if Namibians still do not know what this thing is, please, guys, the internet is for... Okay, it's not for free. I'm sorry. But Google is free. Technically also not, because for you to search for what I'm saying would cost you a dollar a few.
Yeah, and your information.
Yeah, and the information. So technically means that the information is never free.
No, nothing is free.
Yeah, even the website is not for free.
Nothing.
We've obviously learned that as well with Ministry of Finnish Fisheries' website. That I have continuously been unhappy about. But yeah, so it sets a very tricky precedent.
Like it sets standards that are very difficult to meet.
Now, Helmut, did you remember when you read the goal and the target just below that, no? The ensuring and the enabling that by 2030, at least 30% of terrestrial and inland water and of coastal and marine areas, especially areas of particular importance for biodiversity and ecosystem functions. We've got an ad break coming up, right, guys?
It's time to win your share of 500,000 Namibian dollars in prizes with Windhoek Beer. Find one of the 100% real quotes broadcast across Namibia on billboards, in stores, in newspapers, and on social media. Buy any Windhoek Beer, SMS the underliner code to 75050, or scan the QR code to enter on WhatsApp. So, spot a quote, grab a Windhoek Beer, and you could win. Windhoek, real beer for real people. Not for persons under the age of 18. Enjoy responsibly. T's and C's apply.
Lipura nengeno wapungwa eva tere ulikoni maondo tuto ingida ashike kapeno nweku dite opoye ekukurile oshafafa na nongeshe faili mehola mo ihewe tike kovano ile koshiwana onongeshe fa ya pumbwa kukaraya kovano okupitira mo Eagle FM otuna ebito da njuka okukwetira oipindi konu konda doi nawa nune udo otukwetira o special ange tashake ngeshe fa omarude kayo loka opone ushendife nawa nokumona oijamoiri nawa ninge fata fanona monika ko Eagle FM onore tatimwe bali heavy nola natu heavy bali no heavy ile ko derewa vera hetatu natu bali o hetatu batatu o mafelane Eagle FM the eye.
Welcome back. It's 24 minutes left to the hour of 6. If you just tuned in, you're listening to Home Run with Helmut and Dwight on Eagle FM. And we are looking at an interesting discussion that out of the kindness of their hearts and actually their responsibility to basically inform the general public on that discussion. That's the policy document of outlining the mining procedures in what I think should be just be called, you know, sensitive areas of the, you know, of the environment where we don't want to disturb the natural environment, both in natural habitat. Yeah, especially the natural habitat that exists in these areas. And seeing that mining literally means you blowing up stuff, dynamite, that's what it does. Having discussions around how to mine in areas that are considered environmentally sensitive, is an interesting discussion that the Ministry of Mines and Energy and that's the Ministry of Environment, can have. So we have that and you can have access to these documents. But before that, before I ramble on and on and on, Dwight, where were you?
I was on the aspect specifically of looking at those targets that you outlined a little bit earlier.
Yeah.
In the start of the policy, you know, when it starts with introduction. Now, introduction is obviously after executive summary, but they were highlighting specifically the goals of trying to balance global Biodiversity Framework, which Namibia also signed. This is the Kunming-Montreal Global Biodiversity Framework. Now, by the word biodiversity, Helmut, is bigger than the word ecosystem. The word biodiversity is technically like an explainer of the word environment. Because the word environment can mean either water-based, mm-hmm. or it could mean land-based, or it could mean air-based. Something in the sky. Now, we have obviously done our best here at Eagle FM, you and I, on the home run in terms of identifying the fractured or the fragmented scenario of Namibia's public sector agencies and ministries mm-hmm. who are trying to achieve the same goals in their respective zones, but they're all working in silos, like the Auditor General said, because the Auditor General immediately outlined that Ministry of Agriculture has roles that are overlapping into Ministry of Environment, that are overlapping into another ministry's role, or that are overlapping in another ministry's role, and they need to identify that their policies actually speak to each other, not mm-hmm. this policy confusion that in our Bible, the Namibian Guide to the Namibian Economy, or the Guide to the Namibian Economy, outlines that there's a lot of policy confusion. One ministry comes up with a policy document which overlaps into another ministry's policy objectives. Another one develops something, and then it overlaps into another ministry's particular responsibility.
Yeah, that's an interesting point to make now. How the heck are they going to make sure that their ministries are speaking to each other?
They've got executive directors. Let these guys go and meet each other. Tochman, Helmut. They take their policy documents together.
Mm-hmm.
You show up with your policy documents. Let's say I'm environment. Your minds, ne?
Yeah.
All it takes, Helmut, is you and I. We say, listen, let's have a meeting with the other guys.
Yeah.
I'll bring my policy documents. You bring your active policy documents.
Yeah.
Remember, we're talking about active ones.
Yeah.
And we tell
legal know-how guys to come and explain it.
And each of us bring our legal drafters that are in our department. Yeah. We bring them together. We go have a massive meeting for like a 5-day meeting. Yes, you go have the meeting and you come back and you go do your other duties and work mm-hmm. and you go have another meeting again. Because it can't just be about, Helmut, that us, the outsiders outside of the public service, continuously recognize the overlapping, the gaps, the uncertainty.
So the overlapping is not much of a problem, like the contradictions coming out of the policies that are supposed to regulate the overlapping is the problem.
Exactly. And then like you've highlighted in that explainer of the difference between a policy and an act is that we need to identify what should be an act and what should be policy. And that policy has to speak to an act, because the moment that there's damage or a massive act or a massive thing happens in public, that either has a negative cost, either to the environment or to people or to wildlife or to animals, livestock. Who is responsible for compensation? Who is responsible? Because how many times have people complained about wildlife conflict incidents and Minister of Health pays, it's like a scaling payment mechanism. Minister of Environment.
Yeah.
I don't know why health came out.
Sorry, health.
But the Minister of Environment has got a scaling mechanism in terms of how they value what value you lost. Even though you can tell them, I lost 5 cattle because of, a bunch of hungry lions that decided to have a bachelor party in my backyard. they will still tell you, listen, This is all we can pay per head of cattle.
Yeah.
But before we do that, Helmut,
live read.
We've got to take our live read for this particular session, which is this Thursday session of the Home Run. This is the Valvitra University September intake 2025. All programs are fully accredited by the NQA. Certificate in Health Sciences Foundation Level 4, 1-year full-time course available at all campuses. Certificate for Enrolled Nurse Midwife or Acushur Level 6, this is a 2-year full-time course available in Windhoek, in Kurinkuru, Kombat, Walvis Bay, in Katimamulilu, and Otapi. Diploma in Environmental Health Sciences Level 6, this is a 2-year full-time course available in Windhoek.
Bachelor of Nursing and Midwifery Science Honours. This is a 4 years full-time course available in Windhoek, in Kurinkuru, Kombat, Walvis Bay and Katimamulilu. Postgraduate Diploma in Mental Health Nursing Level 8. This is a 1 year full-time course available in Windhoek. Postgraduate Diploma in Community Health Nursing Level 8. This is a 1 year full-time course available in Windhoek. The application period is from 1 June to 30 June 2025. For more information, call 061-225-463 or 061-225-462. Velvetia University, where everyone is an achiever. So yeah, Helmut, Lions having a bachelor party in your backyard. So yes.
Okay, so after the Lions have a bachelor party, open buffet.
Let's just say it was a bring and braai.
So they're just having a good time there.
Oh, it's actually a catch and braai.
Although they are not braaiing, those guys are just chopping. Now. That didn't come out as clean as I thought it would. But
they still are chopping. Or chomping. You know, that's the other word you were looking for.
So now, this makes a lot of points that just goes to show how difficult SDG goals are to achieving, because we have to end hunger, and we also want to, with our FCFTA, goal, we want to trade, and obviously with a variety of goods and services. But the Ministry of Mines want to do what it does, which is mine, and Ministry of Environment wants to do what it does.
No, they don't mine. They supposedly enable.
Right. They don't mind. You know, they don't participate.
Helmut, I don't want you to be clipped into an audio and then it says, Helmut says.
Yeah, say it, you know, they mind.
Yeah.
Yeah, they enable, you know, with their mining and exploration licenses.
Remember, I'm the one that these guys see outside.
Oh, yeah, the one that's in the field. No, I'm just indoor.
You're the one that they accidentally meet.
Now then they go, hey. No, to this guy, I still don't want to run into Bundle of Joy. But, one of these,
that was uncalled for. Seriously. That's a you. You better own up to that thing.
Look, I'm a huge fan of the guy, but for some reason I'm just a huge fan of the guy from a distance. You know? I don't want him to go on me the same way that Julius Malema went on Trevor Noah. Ah, funny guy.
Yeah. It wasn't Julius Malema. It was the nurse.
Wait, the nurse?
It was a nurse. Trevor Noah's mother was sick. She was accidentally shot or something, and he came running there, and then he had to pay for part of the cost because it was his mother.
Yeah,
because the dad was somewhere else at that stage.
Swiss guy.
Yeah, the Swiss guy. And then the nurse recognized him. The nurse went like, "Ha, funny guy." So you know, and she went like, "Not so funny now, ne? Who's knocking? Knock, knock. Who's there? Nobody." And I was like, "It's a look at." Look at this nurse.
Now, that nurse must have been a comedian.
Because he made most jokes about how South Africans protest. And she took it personal that day.
Oh.
The nurse. She was like, oh, you are laughing at us and making jokes about us when we're trying to protest for more money or better salaries or better conditions.
And here you are. Oh. Yeah, so... You're looking at SDGs, and you're seeing a lot of, we have to provide universal energy, connect rural electrification and everything.
Mm.
But, the means of providing that electricity on that size, on a sustainable level, it doesn't exist. Not in a clean way. You can in terms of solar panel, but the cost is going to go through the roof to the point where it's gonna be difficult. So you're now looking at a lot of methods that are making you jump through hoops to sort of try to figure out which one you're gonna use.
Mm.
Because, the sustainable and efficient one is not clean. The clean one. It's also sustainability is somewhat factors in there, because if you are just splitting atoms from seawater, 70% of the ocean, 70% of the planet is made out of ocean. So you are not running out of water anytime soon to split. So the sustainability is there, but the cost of providing that type of electricity on a scale of to feed 3 million to cater for 3 million and plus.
Yeah.
That's one mega investment. That also, one that will just make you look in your pocket and go like, yeah, I'm not pulling that off. So, until we figure out the most effective way to generate electricity for everyone, at an affordable rate, we're going to have to stick to the non-clean one while we think. So the Ministry of Agriculture, I think, as you can imagine, is having the same dilemma. Until we figure out a friendly way to achieve, a food security by mass producing, more like farming on a large scale, our only shot, from the look of things, is inorganic fertilizer. Mm. But then the Ministry of Environment is going like, well, but what you are doing is making my job difficult.
Exactly.
But then that's life. I mean, it's full of contradictions anyway.
Yeah, and then obviously, we highlighted that these guys are trying to sort of like streamline a discussion.
Like find common ground.
Yeah. It does set them up for sticky engagements, Amud. I have to be honest.
Oh, yeah, it does.
It does set these two ministries up for a sticky engagement. Yeah. I can even forecast this. If the environmental guys and the tourism sector hear about this policy document, okay, they obviously probably would have seen it because I posted it on my WhatsApp timeline. You know what? There you go. And we obviously put it on our socials. If the tourism guys and the environmentalists see this thing, they will go like, huh? What did you say?
So,
it makes things weird because I remember back when they had an acting executive director back in 2023, the Ministry of Mines and Energy, mm-hmm. before the guy that moved now from Ministry of Mines to Ministry of Health, before that gentleman, Penda Ititi. No? Is that correct? Anyway. Before he moved and before he actually became the appointed executive director, they had an executive director that was in an acting capacity before him. And he was on a platform, Helmut, that, streams a lot on social media, about specifically, and that platform mostly began around the ESG concept, environmental, social and governance, concept. The ESG concept, they started off with him, and he answered a question based upon what does Namibia's legislation actually look like in terms of trying to deal with the ESG discussion. I also remember that what ESG also translates to, because ESG has a notion in terms of it's similar to the corporate social responsibility discussion. When you go and read up about ESG, mm-hmm. ESG has nothing to do, Helmut, about how an organization operates. ESG has everything to do about what the PRO is telling you in your face.
Okay, here's the thing. for those of you that are not too lazy to read the report, you'll find some interesting, sort of like very eye-opening, sort of like explainers of basically what is defined as a special area or a high value species species area or protected area. And then they go into when it comes to these areas, procedures that the Ministry of Mines have to follow when they are operating in or near these areas.
Mm.
All right. That's, look, Yeah. Now, one such area is, if you go to a bullet number 1, 2, 3, 4, high value tourism areas. These are areas recognized by tourism hotspots based on a current visitor number of a number or area zoned and demarcated in protected areas. Area tourism plans as having high potential for. For tourism as approved by the Ministry of Environment, Forestry and Tourism. If it can be shown that economic benefit from tourism outweigh
the... Hey! Never, Helmut! You know why?
Look, this is Muller talking, Baba. Look.
Yeah, exactly.
Look, we are just weighing things here. Is mining going to make more money than tourism? Is tourism making more money than...
But that's just the thing, Helmut.
Than mining. So if... Look. Just understand me and my mining. Yeah. You know, defending here. Look, if mining is going to make more money than tourism, we're blowing it up. So that's basically what we're seeing.
We're going to show up here with the bulldozers... And we're gonna drive every.
Sorry, Dune 7. We have got to get to that gold.
We've got to get to that oil. So, the downside is here. And I knew it. I know it's contained in that policy document. I knew it, Helmut, because here's the discussion.
Yeah.
When that executive summary, and that's where I went like, hey, these guys are standing with something. When I read that executive summary in there, and that summary said, we know. Remember, this is a joint policy document between two ministries.
Yeah.
Who have competing economic sectors that they represent.
Yep.
They compete for the same resource, the environment.
Yeah.
For Ministry of Mines' narrative to dominate the executive summary, saying mining contributes the most to the GDP. And I'm quoting that verbatim as it stands in that executive summary.
So this whole report is basically a diplomatic battle rap.
Not just diplomatic. It literally says, put my narrative there over your responsibility.
Ladies and gentlemen.
Tourism is doomed, guys. I'm sorry. Now I've converted into the bad news bay. Our tourism is doomed. I'm sorry.
Hang on a second. Where was I? If it can be shown, remember, proof here is needed. If a bank statement. Not a bank statement. We're still in exploration stage.
All you need to do is just bring in NSA's, sectoral performances. You know, quarterly GDP.
Uh-huh.
And every year, Helmut, every 3 months, mm-hmm. it's mining. Every 3 months, mining is the best performer. So that means the discussion you and I had yesterday, of tourism.
Yeah.
Is out of the water.
It's out through the window.
It's out through the window.
So, this is like a court case. Anyone that, whoever presents the best evidence wins. Or, if you know the judge.
No.
Or, that helps.
No. At least, Helmut. It's not the same principle. Remember, in a court case, the court is trying to find out, why are we here?
Uh-huh.
This one is just from the get-go, show me your bank balance.
Yeah, whoever has the most money wins.
Whoever made the most money wins. Whoever has the biggest clients wins.
Yeah.
Whoever spends the most money in my sector wins.
Yeah, so I understand Ministry of Environment, but these investors are coming from Qatar. The UAE, Middle East, these guys donated a plane. So clearly they are loaded. So, seeing how we are making 2-3 millions from tourism, that's understandable. It's a lot of money. These guys are coming with billions. So, the ruling is made. Let, Minister of Mines, blow it up. Let's get to that oil.
That's David, not us, guys, who said thank you. That's David.
Look, these reports are fascinating, guys.
No, but this is just a policy document. It's not a report.
Oh, yeah, you're right. It's a policy document.
And
it's fascinating.
It is problematic.
You're looking at it from a negative angle.
I have to, Helmut. Because here's the worst part of it. Tourism employs the most people, not mining.
Of course, all those things will be factored in.
Yeah.
Yeah, after we blow it up.
after we dug the hole. Yeah, yeah. And we left a massive crater there.
Until tomorrow, same time, same place on Eagle FM.
And on that side, guys, stay tuned for David and his insightful takes on our economy. Yeah. Don't worry.
My friend, why do you seem so worried?
Ace, I'm planning an event for next weekend, eh? And I don't know how to best get people to hear about it.
Saima, don't worry about those small things. Contact Eagle FM today. Eagle FM has a dedicated team that can travel anywhere countrywide to broadcast live at any event, such as a promotion, organizational launch, anniversary, wedding, funeral, political or traditional and church events, and basically any event that you wish to broadcast on a national level. Call them now and talk to Monica at 081-270-3727 or the office number 083-288-400. Eagle FM, the eye.
Want to know about Namibia's latest business and economic news? Then look no further than the Villager newspaper.